The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good morning. It is a packed show this morning that we have for you. And kicking off for us, we're going to talk to Joe DeGeneva. Hey, Joe, happy Monday. Happy Columbus Day. Good morning.
Happy Columbus Day. Let's build more Columbus statues.
That's right. As fast as Antifa tries to take them down, we'll build them.
I'm assembling one right now out of paper mache in the studio.
Joe, I wanted to talk about a story that kind of flew under the radar. Not a lot about it, but it's a very important story. And it's the story of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. We know him. He was held captive by the Taliban after abandoning his post. He is now expected to plead guilty to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy, according to sources. Why has he chosen to do this? What's in this for him?
There's all sorts of penalties this guy could get, including the death penalty in the military for desertion and because people died trying to rescue him. This is a way to try and get a reduced sentence. He's going to be exposed to a life sentence for the misbehavior in the face of the enemy and a 5 years for the desertion. He's hoping for something in between there so he can get out. Obviously, he knows he's being treated that he would have been treated by President Obama, who released him in exchange for five Taliban senior military officials in a disgraceful display of presidential leadership by Obama. So they're doing the best they can to make out of a bad situation.
You know, I watched this Bo Bergdahl thing, and you know, the one thing here, and I don't know if anybody is. I mean, people died here, so it's really hard to assess. But one of the things that I constantly think about is he was held by the Taliban for 5 years. I think there are people in prison today serving life sentences who probably deserve the sentence of 5 years of imprisonment with the Taliban. But I wonder if, when in sentencing here, there might not be some consideration of time served. I mean, you're going to be imprisoned by the Taliban. That must be one of the most hellish experiences anybody can
submit. Well, I think that's really, that's a question for the gods. The bottom line is this. He was a military person. He had a responsibility. He deserted. And in the course of desertion, American military people were killed trying to find him. So whatever he suffered, as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't enough. They can throw the key away, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and you're right. By the way,
Susan Rice thought he had served with honor and distinction. You will recall her famous serial lying on television about him after that bizarre news conference in the Rose Garden with President Obama and Bergdahl's goofy parents.
Yeah, it was weird how she lied once on television. Oh, wait, yeah. All the time, actually. Joe DeGeneva, I want to ask you a little bit about, switch gears to the Trump administration announcing last week that they're changing how employers handle the mandate to buy birth control, now saying both moral and religious exemptions will be allowed and that employers will be able to, you know, not provide birth control if it violates their moral or religious norms. How do you see it?
This is a holdover from the Obama administration. This went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court sent it back saying, you guys work this out. It didn't get worked out. President Obama promised the Little Sisters of the Poor and Hobby Lobby that he would issue these regulations, and they've done it. And that's exactly what they're doing. This basically says, if there's a religious belief in your organization or your whatever you do with regard to Obamacare, you have the right to use that religious feeling to not do certain things that you don't want to do, like birth control. The Obamacare did not require birth control coverage. It required preventive medicine. And what HHS did under President Obama was issue regulations requiring all birth control coverage. So this was a regulation which the president is now changing, creating a religious exemption. This is a nothing burger. It's been made into a big deal because people don't like people who invoke religious beliefs. By the way, I apologize for this. I do want to say something about the Las Vegas gambler before we quit today. But
yes,
as far as this goes, this case is ridiculous. It's another example of over-lawyering and creating an unnecessary conflict in society. They should have left the Little Sisters alone. They should have left Hobby Lobby alone. Instead, they're going to create bad law for their own side, and I'm talking about the leftists.
Inside of this idea that HHS would rule that birth control is preventative medicine, that suggests that being pregnant is an ailment.
Well, there's no accounting for the liberal mind, because if you believe in late-term abortion and you think that's okay, you can justify anything. So the bottom line is, given those parameters, nothing surprises me.
Yeah, I also want to talk about details emerging on President Trump's plan this week to loosen up regulations on selling insurance across state lines and allowing people who buy individually or for small employers to form groups and then join groups, and then they can buy across state lines. Think there'll be some legal challenge to this?
Oh, probably. They're going to say he doesn't have the authority to do that under Obamacare, and he's going to say, I do have the authority to do that. He will issue the regulations. This is actually a very, very good idea because it allows people who live in different states to create associations to buy insurance, and by banding together, they can create power in numbers, get cheaper prices, and they can be allowed to buy catastrophic health insurance, which is very, very cheap and is really all what young people need. Young people don't need all types of comprehensive insurance because they don't get sick. And so bottom line is, yes, he will do this, and yes, it will be challenged, and who knows what will happen when it's over.
All right, Joe, as promised, an opportunity to give us your quick take on the Vegas shooter, the latest.
Bottom line is this. A lot of time is being wasted. What they should do is, there's no doubt that there's a correlation between the shooter's father, who was a serial bank robber, a career criminal, escaped from prison twice. They should exhume the father's body, examine his brain, and compare it with the son's brain. This guy, the son, was in fact had a criminal mind. All of this stuff that they're doing now, trying to figure out motive, this guy had a mental situation which was extremely deep, extremely serious, which I'm convinced he inherited from his father. I think there's a link there. By the way, the reason almost becomes irrelevant. This curiosity about why he did it, obviously we all want to know that.
Right.
But in fact, I think there's a link between the two brains.
So suggesting that there's not something we can do to prevent this, this is just genetic?
Yes, absolutely. I think once they do an analysis of the two brains, they're going to find that there are things in those brains which link the two people together in a type of criminal genetic brain. This has been known for years. There's nothing complicated about this. In fact, they may have already exhumed the father's body by now and not told anybody. If they haven't, it would be the first thing I would do this morning.
Joe, I don't know if this is within your expertise, but wouldn't a brain that from a dead guy already be decaying? I mean, like, how would they use that?
If there's been formaldehyde, I assume the body was treated the way it would have been back in those days, so there is preservation. You'd be amazed what you can get from a decayed brain, no matter what it is. There's an amazing amount of forensic information in a brain.
Wow. Joe DeGeneva introducing a new lead here, and or maybe not in his estimation, but thank you, Joe, very much.
Yeah, and Joe, I believe you're going to be joining us at the Free Speech Forum this Sunday, the 15th, with a special Q&A.
Yes, I am. I'm so excited because it'll give me a chance to talk about how Dianne Feinstein carried a .38 caliber revolver while she was mayor of San Francisco and doesn't like to talk about it.
Imagine all that and more.
Yeah, and maybe the words James Comey will pop up for some reason. Joe DeGeneva, thanks.
You bet.
Take care. You can get the tickets, by the way, for the Free Speech Forum at mal.com/freespeechforum.